forward in the meeting of the chairperson. Thank you, ma'am. Over to you, Mr. Pegger.
Thank you very much, Nelson. I nominate Honorable Pengo to be the chair of the session.
Any second? Over to you, Mr. Tech.
I second it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll hand over to Ms. Pengo to continue with the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members. Yeah, today we are having a meeting with the department on the annual report. Do we have any apologies for today?
Yes, I've received one apology from Ms. Van den Meve, who's not around. Thank you.
Good morning. I didn't think this mic is working. What's working? No, sorry, go ahead. Good morning. I may have to leave at Upper's 2, but I'm not may. There's about a 30% chance that I'll have to leave for Johannesburg. But if not, then I will be here right until this evening and two. But I'll be back tomorrow for the meeting again.
Honourable members, I have seen here in our program that our meeting will be until 8 o'clock, but I think for the matter of time, because we are supposed to have a study group at 5:30 today, so we are no longer going to take this meeting until 8 o'clock. So we have to limit the time so that we can be able to continue with our other meetings. For now, I'm going to give the researcher and the content advisor for us to give us their opinion on the annual reports. Over to you, Ikashim. Thank you very much.
Good morning, members. Crystal and I were just saying we've been through this annual report and it was tough having to find things to go through to show members that any different from last year and the previous financial year. So I think our presentations are going to be short, but it's the same issues that have emerged. So Chris will start with an analysis of the budget as the programs, and then I will take members through strategic priorities and BRR issues from the previous financial year. Thank you.
Thank you, Kashiva. Good morning, members. So the document I'll be speaking to is the one that says Annual Report Overview 2016-17, Department of Women. I think the first thing there, if we just look at key considerations, members will remember in April last year, we were presented with the department's budget and annual performance plan for the year. However, in February of this year, we were presented with the revised annual performance plan. Now, the department said that there was no financial implications in the changes that they made. However, they introduced a number of new targets or they restated some of the old targets. And they said they did that as a means to refocus the work of Program 2 and Program 3. However, overall, most of the targets in those, even though they've now introduced the new targets and changed the focus, most of the targets under those two programs, which are your core delivery programs, have not been met. So for those two programs alone, there were 22 targets, and only two targets were met in those two programs. I'm not going to go through that strategic overview and those things. I think if we move right over to page number 4, which has the overview and assessment of financial performance, point 4 there. So if members will remember that overall the department received an allocation of 196.9 million rand, and 69.9 million of that was the transfer payment to the CGE, which meant that the department had an operating budget of 127 million. And that was approximately 6 million rand more than in the previous financial year. If we look at the the program or the allocations per program. For program 1, they'd allocated 89.4 million. For program 2, 84.4. And for program 3, 23.1 million. Bearing in mind for program 2, that included the CGE's money. So technically that money for program 2 was only, I think, 14.5 million. If we just look at the, and also they identified that the key cost drivers would be the cost, compensation of employees and also the goods and services. If we just look at that table there, table 2, tourism expenditure. So what I did there was, in that first row, it's the allocation they presented to us in April last year. Then the second one was the final appropriation, as they indicate in the annual report, and then the actual expenditure. So overall, for Program 1 administration, they had initially allocated 88.3 million. The final appropriation was 88.6 million, and the actual expenditure there was 88.4 million, which means it's 99.7% of the budget. For Program 2, the initial allocation was 14.5 million. That was then decreased to 10.5 million in the final appropriation, and the actual expenditure was 9.5 million, which was a 90% expenditure of that program budget. For Program 3, the initial allocation was 24.2 million. The final appropriation was 27.7 million, and they'd spent 26.7 million, which is 96.3%. So overall, of the 127 million that they had allocated for their operating budget, they had spent 124.7 million, which amounts 98.2%. So they indicated there was no over expenditure and that they have a surplus of 2.1 million for the financial year. They made a number of vironments between programs, and that was mostly to offset costs towards compensation of employees. And then they transferred from Program 2 to Program 3 a total of 4 million rand that they say was for goods and services. So that's why we see the decrease in that budget for Program 2 from the 14.5 to the 10.5 million, because that money went to Program 3. In terms of irregular expenditure, if we turn the page, the department incurred irregular expenditure to the amount of 6.3 million rand for the year, and they said that was primarily as a result of non-compliance with procurement processes. Also, they incurred fruitless and wasteful expenditure amount to 32,000 rand for the year. They also, there's fruitless and wasteful expenditure from the previous financial years that's indicated in the annual report as well. But I've just focused on 16-17 specifically, so that's the amount there. If we look at the findings of the AG, so they received an unqualified audit opinion, but with findings on compliance with legislation and internal control deficiencies. I've just highlighted some of them there. So it's around procurement and contract management that they obtain goods and services below 500,000 rand without the required quotations. For goods and services above 500,000 rand, they didn't invite competitive bids, and they didn't follow the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act and its regulations. In terms of expenditure management, the AG found that the department did not take effective steps to prevent fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure. In terms of leadership, adequate oversight was not effectively and timely exercised by the accounting officer and senior management regarding performance reporting and compliance with laws and regulations. And although they had drafted and developed action plans to address previous audit findings, they weren't always effectively implemented and monitored. In terms of financial and performance management, the non-compliance with the laws and regulations could have been prevented had the compliance been properly reviewed and monitored by senior management. And then I just also highlighted that in the annual report there's a report by the Audit and Risk Committee from the department as well. And so in addition to the findings from the AG, the Audit and Risk Committee also indicates that it's not satisfied that internal controls of the department were working as intended throughout the year. The system of internal control in the department requires significant improvement, and it has noted with concern the increase in the number of findings that were not resolved adequately from the previous financial year. Now, if we look at point 5, overview and assessment of program performance, I think as Kashfa said, I think for me this was probably the hardest part where I try to find something useful, because overall, in terms of targets met, it's really not good. The department has more targets this year than last year, a total number of 38 targets for the year. They achieved 14 of those targets. And of those 14, 12 of those targets are in the administration program, which means that in your core delivery programs, program 2 and 3, you haven't met basically any of the targets set out there. So in terms of a success rate, if you look at it that way, the department has a 36.8% success rate in achieving their targets, but they've managed to spend 98.2% of the budget. Now, I think therein for me lies the biggest concern, that you haven't met your targets, but you've spent your budget. So what did you spend the money on if you haven't met those targets? So if we look at program 1, which is the administration program, they've set 14 targets, they achieved 12. The success rate there is 85%, and you spent 98% of the budget approximately. Program 2, 9 targets set, 0 targets achieved, and 90.4% of the budget spent. Taking into consideration that also a large proportion of that money was carried over to Program 3. In Program 3, they set 13 targets, they achieved 2 targets, and the total budget spent there was 98.2%. And as I indicated there, they spent 98% of the budget, but only managed 14 out of the 38 targets, and targets in the core service delivery programs were not met. Now, in the annual report, they indicate that they've implemented a number of plans or measures to overcome the areas of underachievement. In terms of Program 2, on page 8 there, they say that staff from the Department of Traditional Affairs have been partially seconded to assist in developing the National Policy Framework on Sanity Dignity. Another measure is that they've identified the operational planning weaknesses, and when they have addressed these, they will significantly improve the management of performance. And also, once they finalize the M&E framework, this program will be positively impacted. Program 3, they've indicated that they've appointed M&E experts to finalize the draft M&E framework, and again, the operational planning weaknesses, they'll address it, and it will improve the management of performance. Now, I don't know what that means. We need clarity around what exactly, if you're saying the staff from the Department of Traditional Affairs have been partially seconded to assist, in what capacity, what are those people going to be doing specifically? And also these M&E experts, for how long, what's the cost implications, all those kinds of things. If we look at human resources, the department says that it had 105 approved posts as at the end of the financial year, of which 99 were filled. The majority of the staff are in the administration program. They had a turnover rate of 20.9%. 14 staff had left the department throughout the year. 5 staff members resigned, 1 was dismissed, 1 retired, and 7 were transferred to other public service departments. And also they had 5 misconduct and disciplinary hearings for the year under review, and 3 staff members are on precautionary suspension. So the concluding comments there is that overall the department has performed poorly for this financial year. They must improve on the delivery of the targets, having only met 36% of targets in this financial year, but spending 98% of the budget. Progress regarding all outstanding reports must be submitted to the committee, and then the role of the seconded staff from Traditional Affairs as well as the M&E experts must be clarified. Progress on outstanding targets must be reported, as well as the impact on financial and human resources on the 2016-17 financial year. Because if you haven't met the majority of your targets for the previous financial year, it obviously has an implication going forward. For all those things that are outstanding, the human resource implications, the financial implications, all those things. And then the department says that they've begun to implement measures to deal with non-compliance. So that needs to be strengthened and monitored regularly by the committee. I think, as Kashifa said, the presentation is brief because really there's not much to say. So that's
thank you, Crystal. We now move on to the document I prepared that looks at this annual report in its title, BRR 2017, Key Issues for Consideration for the Department of Women. So if you look at the timeline, we're now 2017. And just to remind members, so they've tabled the APPs, they've also had two revised APPs. One, that was in 2016 February, that was for the year 15-16, and then in February 2017 they submitted another revised APP for 16-17. And then in between that, on the 11th of March in 2016, they also had a revised SAT plan. And the department's consistent indication to us was the reason they're doing all these revisions is to ensure that they more smartly targets, that they on track. But that shows that in the short period, we have lots of changes, both from a structural point of view as well as from an HR perspective. There are not many years left to this cycle. So I think we should also be asking not just about this annual report in relation to the APP, but how are you achieving your strategic goals? Because remember, this department was started 2014. It had a vision and a mission for where it wanted to be 2019-20. We're needing to understand with all the money they have spent, how are they taking us closer to what they identified. So it's not just about the annual report in isolation of the APP. It's about that bigger picture. If we move over to page 2, again, I've just highlighted to members that these are all the key dates, which consistently shows when it's something's tabled, when it's revised. If you go to October 2014, Department of Public Service Administration approved a startup organizational structure of 121, and that showed the program and administration program and the core programs. So DPSA back then had an understanding from our department as to where they wanted to go over the next 5 years. The minister and the DG in our current annual report refers to revised strategic priorities or intentions. Again, the committee needs to be made to be understood and be very clear what are these revised intentions. Because if DPSA funds you according to your organogram to achieve particular things as well as National Treasury, what has changed and where from that 2016 revised strategic plan that was done on 11 March. Again, in this annual report, the Minister and the DG refers to revised strategic intentions. Now, are they referring to what was tabled or are they coming up with something new? If we move over to page 3, again, what I've done here, I've looked at since the department started until now. Initially, we had 4 programs. We're down to 3 programs. Consistently, the administration program has always managed to achieve its targets. But those are compliance targets. Those are things you have to do. You have to submit a quarterly report. You have to have an audit and risk committee. Those are things you must have. But the core programs have always suffered. So consistently over years, that's been the struggle, delivery around the core programs. If we move over to page 4, what I noted was on page 26 of the annual report, under the highlights of the significant achievements, one of it was the organizational structure redesigned based on new mandate and revised strategic intentions. Now, firstly, what is this new mandate and what is this revised strategic intentions? Because I think those are key things, because it has a bearing and impact in terms of your strategic plan and where, if we're going to evaluate this department at the end of this 5-year cycle, where have things changed. And we need to know as the committee what have changed. Again, if this organizational structure was redesigned with the intention of being more effective and efficient, is it that we could not achieve 61% of our targets? So that is, if you're saying that's an achievement, you have a new design, a new mandate, then why hasn't that been practically manifested in terms of achievements? If we move again to strategic priorities on page 5 for 2015-20, again, it's to ask the department and the minister today, in terms of the department's vision and mission, for your two targets that you achieved in the annual report, in the core programs, and that's mostly related to program 3, which is around outreach initiatives and campaigns, how does that take us closer to achieving your vision and mission? Because again, it's not just seeing your targets in isolation for just this one particular financial year. It's helping you achieve this broader goals. In terms of the priorities for the 5 years, we know that 2 years ago we had that report on the status of women in the South African economy. It produced valuable recommendations, but our report is actually, the annual report is quite quiet on what happened in that, this 16-17 financial year in terms of the recommendations which you found in the previous financial year, which technically you were supposed to have monitored the progress and implementation in 16-17. Again, that status of women's report was crucial because it's about, again, the overall vision and mission of our department and taking us to those ideals. One of the challenges noted was the poor response from the department in responding to those recommendations. What happened then? That was noted in 15-16. So in 16-17, what did the department do to follow up on the poor responses to the recommendation on the status of women's report? If you move over to page 6, gender monitoring framework, the M&E framework, we still don't have it. It's still not finalized. That's very, very important. Again, we can't, if we're wanting to look at the 9-point plan, if we're wanting to mainstream gender, that can only be done if there's a policy imperative to help departments and also help our own department to determine how are we going to assess, monitor, and evaluate. I don't have a clear sense as to what the problem is around finalizing this M&E framework. As Crystal said, they brought in M&E experts. Given the challenges around budgeting and cost containment, how is it that if we've redesigned our organizational structure, and we're saying it's an achievement, we've got a new mandate, why are we bringing in outside people? What are we then saying about our current staff capacity? And if we're trying to curtail costs, where are we finding the money for these consultants? And what are they doing? And for how long are they going to be there? Again, it's going to impact on our budget. I think I've mentioned to the committee last year, Ranji Reddy is an official within the department. She worked in DPSA prior to the Department of Women, and she worked on a policy framework around gender mainstreaming. And we're talking about 8-10 years ago. There is expertise within the department. Why are we bringing external consultants in when you have government officials who've worked in a department like DPSA who've looked at mainstreaming broadly? So again, it's to ask what evidence is there to support progress towards achieving the strategic priorities that department has identified. Yes, they've highlighted achievements, but in targets achieved, it's only 2 targets in Program 3. So the matters for oversight, I think the committee just needs to reiterate, we need that M&E framework. When will it be finalized? When will you present it to us? Including indicators, the same as the gender responsive budgeting framework. when it comes to outreach initiatives, we commend the department for undertaking several of these campaigns and initiatives. But again, I think the committee consistently has said, we're concerned about sustainability. How do you measure the impact? What are the outcomes? What is the cost? How do you actually do follow-up on all the issues that have come about? And more importantly, where is their working in partnership with the CGE in relation to these matters? That's a fundamental key stakeholder. But the annual report is quite silent on any relation with the CGE. In terms of 2.3 on page 6, the minister's forward, I just looked at the minister's forward and the DG. But I think she notes key things, that we were able to influence government departments to adopt gender-sensitive planning. But how can you do this in the absence of an M&E framework? So who did you influence? How did you do that? How did you manage to get them to adopt gender-sensitive planning? What did the monitoring women's access to basic services entail and the ability of women-owned enterprises to access government business? This is in the minister's forward. This is crucial. Because when I checked the minutes of our quarterly report briefings, not once were we briefed on access to basic services. Yes, women-owned enterprises, they spoke of it, but where's the evidence? And also, again, if you go back to your targets and what they report on, if you look at the minister's forward, based on program 2, where do the two coincide? Because they don't. She also talks to addressing the deficiencies in Papua. When do they intend doing that? If members recall last week, it was also a question to the CGE, because the CGE had raised needing to relook at Papua given the fact that equality courts are not working very well. Again, what is the department going to do and how are they working with the CGE in relation to this? Page 7, policy matters. In terms of our NDP, if we just look at our 14 targets that we achieved, 12 administration, 2 core programs, the department needs to be able to communicate and let the committee know today. How does that take us closer to achieving social cohesion, safer community, and safer community space for all? Again, it's for the department to help us understand, given they spend 98% of their budget, what they spent on, how did it take us closer to achieving any of the NDP outcomes? In terms of NTSF, we technically, according to what was written at the start of the MTF cycle, it's around changing behaviors and increased progress towards gender equality. So again, yes, they do many campaigns. We can say they achieve more than the 6 campaigns. But how do they begin to choose campaigns? Even around the 16 days of activism, where is the evidence for 365 days? That also needs to be expanded on. We can definitely highlight what they do in November and Women's Day, but what happens throughout the year? In terms of the gender inequality index, that's a clear indicator which government has identified for which our department is responsible. The annual report is quiet on saying, given all the work they've done, whether it's around looking at basic services, monitoring and evaluating NDP outcomes, but what does it tell us about the gender inequality index? How far are we as a country in terms of moving forward in relation to that? 3.2, it's the same issue as the previous year, National Gender Policy Framework. They could say, well, we're wanting to finalize our M&E framework, but what helps government departments push for gender mainstreaming? Where is that policy imperative and how is that being advocated, made known from national, provincial down to a local government level? And lastly then, if we move to page 8. What, if any, plans are in place to ensure the country's gender mainstreaming policy is aligned to the NDP, SDG, and the Agenda 2063? Because the department reported to us at the start of the APP all the linkages to NDP, SDG, and Agenda 2063. But again, based on what they monitoring, evaluating, and finding, what can it tell us about gender equality in terms of the ideals in the NDP, SDG, as well as Agenda 2063? So achievements, we spent almost all of our budget, 98%. We achieved less than 40% of our targets. What evidence is there to support that the department monitored the extent to which the economic cluster was monitoring economic empowerment of women in the country? Because that's one of the key achievements they noted. Where's the evidence for that? That evidence needs to be brought before the committee in terms of report. If I look at the CGE tables reports, and that's how the committee can assess the extent to which the CGE is doing what they're saying they're doing. Lastly, page 9, the reflections of BRR. I just need to reiterate to the committee, whenever the department comes to the committee, Nelisa would send a letter and there'd be a briefing note. The briefing note would clearly stipulate the department needs to report to the committee on progress in terms of implementing the audit action plan and the BRR recommendations, as well as challenges identified with the impact scores and recommendations there. So the department did report to us on the audit action plan and BRR recommendations. But if we reflect on our minutes and our briefings for the department for the year under review, there's a disjuncture between what they reported versus the AG's findings, as well as internal audit. Because technically, the committee should have been aware of the issues raised, because we had asked them, tell us about progress and implementation. That's a huge area of concern. Because if we're asking, and they're not reporting to us key issues of concern, but yet the AG and the internal audit is telling us at the end of the year, then there's a missing middle, and it's for the committee to assess how do we get to the bottom of that. Again, why did they not bring it to us, to our attention during the quarterly briefings? I think that's the first question for consideration, page 9. The second issue is the Auditor General noted that sometimes there were officials that signed off in instances where the accounting officer should have. That's crucial. Where was the accounting officer then? Who were these officials? What did they sign up? What was the purpose of those transactions? The CFO position, that's crucial. When will it be filled? The AG indicated that it's a key position. If it's vacant for more than 6 months, you're actually defaulting against PFMA compliance. The department said they received over 9 million from National Treasury for the creation of awareness about the reduction of GBV. Again, what did they spend that 9 million rand on? Was it around the dialogues for us to get a bit more information? With the sanitary dignity policy framework, when will it be completed and presented to the committee? Because it's even in its draft form, the committee has the authority to request that information and also to provide input. Now, the provision of sanitary towels, it's around sexual reproductive health, it's around family planning. It's not very clear why they're working with traditional fees and not Department of Health, basic education, children in school, and social development. children in need of care and protection. Because technically, if they're going to be the provision and issuing of sanitary towels, it won't necessarily be through traditional feeds. It's going to be through a service delivery agent. So why are they not working more closely with those departments? The department also refers to, under its achievements, they have this business case for a sanitary dignity framework, gender responsive budgeting, and the financial inclusion framework. What is a business case? And can it be please sent to the committee, for the committee to look and see? Again, they also have a draft toolkit dashboard. What is this? How will it be implemented? When will it be finalized? In terms of campaigns, again, we need to determine what was the cost of our campaigns, what was the impact on outcomes, how does the department follow up on all these issues raised by people at these various campaigns, and how sustainable are these campaigns? I just want members to refer to your annual report on page 156. So page 156, it's around irregular expenditure. On the note 26.4, environment without National Treasury approval, 1.6 million. Again, it's to ask, like the AG highlighted to us, in some instances, officials perhaps didn't sign off in areas where the accounting officer should have. How is it that 1.6 million, there was environment and you didn't get National Treasury approval? Again, where was the accounting officer in this? How did this happen? Was it with or without her knowledge? An explanation around that. Also on page 157, we have employees on special leave, which is over 2 million. Now, Crystal referred to three employees on special leave. Again, we need to find out, is it for all three employers, for one, and when will this be attended to? Page 165. It's small amounts, but I think it's full of relevance. We receive money from Denmark and UN Women, printing and translation and training of facilitators. What's this all about? If we already have money for printing, and we're still getting money from elsewhere, if we have turning for facilitators for what? And I think just the last matter around HR is page 87. Page 87, and that's 3.72. Performance agreements that have not been concluded, and that was level 15 and in level 13. Again, when are these going to be dealt with in terms of suspensions, and what's holding it up? When will these be concluded? So members, that's in summary just some of the key issues we thought we could highlight to members. Thank you.
Thank you, Kashiva and Christelle, for your presentations. Honorable members, do you have any points of clarity on these two reports? Okay, Honorable Stana.
On page 9, they list a number of their audits, in the presentation that they emailed to us. They list a number of key achievements, which is those business case and don-dons. Have we received any one of those documents?
So, from what I recall, I think we may have had a copy of that pilot report on the dialogue in Limpopo. think it was if... Oh, okay. Yeah. So... Anyone who has a question? I'm just looking at my notes from the meeting that we had on the 22nd of August, specifically related to that Limpopo report. Mm. And they said there, one of the questions from members was why was the report rejected by Cabinet, and they were supposed to provide information on that. And as Ms. Grace said, they said it wasn't the standard, and I don't know why. So that was the reason they gave us. But so I think the question then is, why do you put it in here as a significant achievement if it was, if the report was then withdrawn? So. Just to reiterate to members and remind members what the AG mentioned about consequence management around these draft reports. What the AG was saying was, how is it that it takes until the end of the financial year for a report to be rejected because it doesn't meet its required standard, so therefore the target is not met. So what's the consequence management for the person responsible? So technically, if, for example, Crystal is in program 2, she develops the M&E framework, then it goes to the chief director and the DDG and then to the DG. Why should it wait until the end of the financial year for Crystal to know that the DG is not happy with the report? There's a chain of command. So where's the consequent management for the head of program 2 and the head of sub-program 2 for all of the targets that have not been met? So something's not happening in terms of quarterly briefings and reports. Why is it that the DG is rejecting a standard not met at the end of the financial year? Surely, if you're wanting to produce a publication by the 31st of March, you're not going to wait until the 30th of March for the DG to say, no, it can't go to print. There's something about the planning and the review that's not happening during the year. And again, if we ask, if we look at our quarterly briefings, if we're asking for progress, what do we need to do differently? Because we can't wait till the end of the financial year for a target not to have been met because the standard hasn't been met. So something needs to be dealt with in that regard as well. There needs to be a clear indication as to, for all the targets not met, were the key persons responsible for developing that that report, as well as what they're reporting to. Because whoever they report to, there should be consequence management for that person as well, because they haven't ensured in terms of their program and sub-program that the money issued and that targets are not, because already halfway through the year you can see when your target is not being met. No, actually, honorable members, this is very difficult. We thought it may be. But I don't know what to say, Kashiva and Crystal, because to us it seems as if we thought that the department is doing something, but they say they have
have achieved something else, and we don't see exactly what they have achieved. But anyway, you remember that they have sent the organizational structure which they sent to us. I'm just referring to what Honorable Stella has said around these highlights of their achievements. That is why one day I remember in our meeting we said that, no, we are going to call each and every unit of them so that they can come and tell us exactly what they're doing. But to me, it seems as if it is up and down. The department is not doing what it's supposed to do. Because what they do is that they boast themselves and saying that, no, we have achieved something. But in the meantime, as honorable members, we don't have seen their achievements. Just because they don't report to us in some of the achievements that they are doing, is that we have seen some of their issues, that achievements that they report to the media instead of reporting to this portfolio committee. That is why we have not seen anything that is tangible to what they have achieved. On the issue of community dialogues that they have said already, we have not heard anything from them now, because they told us that they are going to have those community dialogues for the duration of the year, but in the meantime, we haven't heard anything around this issue. And also in the issue of Mpumalanga, where they said they are going there, and thereafter they have withdrawn to go to Mpumalanga, then what else has happened? Nothing. And what is happening now is it's only the CGE that is doing their work, which they are supposed to do. So I don't think we have anything that has been done by this department. But we are happy that you have highlighted all those issues here in your report, and we are going to ask those questions from there. Because if they have spent 99% of the budget on things that we have not yet been able to see, that's a problem. But honorable members, you have to remember that the achievement of the department should be the achievement to us as honorable members. If they failed, it means we have failed also with them. So therefore, I'm going to call the department so that they can be able to give us the presentations. But before they come, do you have any other members who want to say something before we call the department? Honorable Seke?
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. I think we have observed, I agree with you that the failure of the department is our failure. But it's unfortunate that we, as a portfolio committee, we are doing our work. It's unfortunate that the department is just failing us. But I just want to propose something, Chair, if it's possible, Kashiva. You know, departments that are not performing like this, I think portfolio committee are taking strict measures to make sure that they improve in terms of their performance. I'm not quite sure. Can it be possible that we summon the department to account each and every month just to come and appear before the committee, and we be consistent in terms of the issues that we want them to present? Because we have been raising these matters consistently, so 3-4 years ago, we have been raising them. So I'm not quite sure whether this is going to work or not. I'm just lobbying the members of the portfolio committee.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Seke. Honorable Kaula, then I'll come to you.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Nami ngiyajabula ukujabulela nje ukuqala ukuthi nginabantu la ekomidani nabakhombisa ukubona izinto ukuthi azenzeki. Injengoba injalo. Yabona umnyango oyibona wona okhombisayo la yiwona lo kaSijim. And ngivumelana mina no honorable Seke. Ngoba kuyefana sizolo sikhula umuntu eyodwa nalabantu. Labantu ayikho into abazosiza ngayo. Ngoba bakhombisa ngosobantu bahlulekile. Kuphela thina funa sazi ukuthi yini into engenza ukuthi siye phambili la sizobe sisibanikela khona izwi ukuthi laba bantu badlala ngezimali, izimali abakwazi ukuyisebenzisa ngendlela efanele. Kanjalo nominister. Nami ngimbona uminister njengenandaba nalo mnyango. Ngiyabonga. Okuningi ngikuphathele bona.
Thank you, Chair. I'm glad that to have members who are able to detect a lot of things that are wrong. I agree with Honorable Tseke. The department has failed us. Let's look for a way forward. And we're still waiting for them to ask them some questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I also agree with what has been said by Honorable Grace and others. It makes sense to say they must report to us every month. But how many months have we got left? If you think we've reached the end of this year, well, not quite the end of the financial year. I don't know if there is anything else we can do that can put a bombshell under them, that we've actually got to make it the business of this committee united to go out and say, you are failing us, you are failing our nation. Every day our ears are assaulted by all the violence and things like this. So is there anything else? I know reporting monthly works because we did that with the CGE in the early days when they were in a bad state. But look, they're much better now. So we were successful. So we got between now and a couple of months next year. But I think there should be a bombshell now. Is there anything else you can suggest that we're going to put them on the red carpet and let them have to face up to the music? It can't just be here within this committee. It needs to be wider. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, maybe if I can say this, I don't know, you can correct me to say that, you know, the program of Parliament is very, is full, so it's enabled us to invite the department almost every month. That is why the report on the quarterly reports, on first quarterly reports, the second, the annual reports and everything. And this will maybe, I don't know what is going to happen because we are supposed to invite other departments to monitor them. But if we can, because of the program of Parliament, which is always changes, you know, I don't know what we are going to do. But I fully agree with you that we need to invite the department to come and report to us, even though there are many, because there are many challenges that we are facing with the department. That is why I was saying it, because they have this structure, their structure. Each structure must come and report to us so that you can monitor exactly what are they doing according to your organizational structures. Yes, Kashi.
PC and police meets 4 to 5 times a week. DTI meets 4 times a week. It's a political prerogative. If the committee wants, the committee indicates and has administration, and Lisa will send out the letters. PC and police meets 4 times a week, and it's on the Z list. You can look a month in advance. They request documentation at least 10 days prior. So SAPS knows what they've got to give, and they do that. I agree, Ms. Robinson and Ms. Teke, the monthly reports, it worked for CGE. We can do that between now and the end of this financial year, but again, we need the prerogative of the committee, the political mandate. If the committee says this is what we want, we can do that. In terms of, I'm just thinking, because the police committee tabled their BRR, they had similar issues, and their BRR is, short of it being called micromanagement, they've actually requested, in terms of non-compliance, for every program, who is the key person responsible, what is the issue, what's being done about it. 1 November, SAFS has to come back to the portfolio committee and police and report on the audit action plan and what has been done. Because bearing in mind, this is a financial year 16-17, we're in 17-18 already. Technically, those remedies should have already been kicked in. It should be put in place. The committee should be aware of, okay, this is our audit action plan, this is how far we come. just to remind members, the AG had assured us that they would also come back to us on quarterly. So if committee wants, we can put in monthly meetings and what we can request from the department, like we did with the CGE. Every month, the report on each and every program and outstanding matters, and that gets sent to the committee. And what we could possibly do for every month, as opposed to having all three programs, we could have for the 1st of November, they report back to us in terms of their audit action plan and how they're addressing issues. The next month, we have program one, the following month, program two, the following month, program three, which will then take us to the next quarter. So it can be done, but we need to specify both in terms of what we require and also who the key persons responsible are for when there isn't an action that's being taken up and remedied. But we need the committee to give an indication, and that can go in our BRR.
I think Kashiva has explained to us, we understand and we fully agree with you. Honorable Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. I think Kashiva spelled it out very clearly to us, and so you've also agreed. I think that we should take a formal resolution and minute the fact that this committee, I hope, decided unanimously that we want to put them under closer scrutiny and we want to go over to the plan which Kashiva has laid out.
Okay. Yes, we agreed. Honourable members, I've been informed that the department will be running late, so if there's anything, then we can continue. As soon as they are here, then we will call them. Yes, Kashiva?
We're spending money on dialogues, and I think it's something the committee must engage with the department on. Even if they've done, doesn't matter how many dialogues they've done to date, we've spent money on it. They've engaged with many women. The other issue which I noted in the annual report is they're engaging now with youth. And for me, it's how did we move and come to decide we're engaging with female youth? And particularly on economic empowerment, again, we've got NYDA. NYDA sets up business plans, focuses around females. How are they working with the NYDA? Because the idea is not to duplicate existing services within government. I'll reiterate again, the CGE does legal clinics. It does awareness. It works with other stakeholders, whether it's the Public Protector, Human Rights Commission. So when it goes into a community, the community is clear about what the mandate is and how they can be assisted. When our department engages with women in these dialogues, what are they letting women know? Because they're not the CGE, so they technically can't take up a referral. So where are they taking those issues to? And what's the formal route to feedback to the community? Like we saw with the AG telling the CGE around case management. You need to be very clear about when you identify an issue, in how many days are you going to notify the person and how are you going to refer the matter on and when are you going to close the case. The same with these dialogues. We need to safeguard that we don't raise unfair expectations within communities where women raise matters and how these things are being taken up and by who. Because when that woman walks away, she needs to know, well, this is the contact number for me to follow up on an issue that I just mentioned, and how am I going to know that my issue is going to actually be dealt with? So I think there needs to be more engagement with the department around the dialogues. We're spending money, we're meeting with women, we're identifying issues, but what are we doing about what's being raised and how do they intend addressing those matters and where are they taking those matters to? Because in our annual report of the CGE, there's no indication from the CGE that the issues that the dialogues identified were carried over to them in the various provinces. So what's happening to all the matters raised by the various women across the provinces? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I don't see anywhere in the annual report where they speak about or where they give us a progress report in terms of the implementation of the directive by the President to monitor the economic cluster. I'm not quite sure whether as the committee have we received any report on the site which speaks to that, even in the previous quarter.
Just in response to Ms. Tseke around the what the minister, the DG, has said is that it's the intention they're going to be monitoring the economic cluster. And that's, remember, the previous two targets were collapsed and around the research those three were combined. So the intention is they're doing work around the monitoring and evaluation of the economic cluster. But to date, the committee hasn't received anything in terms of an actual report. But secondly, like I noted at the start of my presentation, how are you evaluating the economic cluster when your M&E framework, the system is not finalized and your framework is not finalized? So what are the officials in our department actually, how are they evaluating? And the economic cluster is huge. There's several programs, even if we just take Operation Pakisa. Operation Pakisa is massive. How are they beginning to decide what they're evaluating? And again, that hasn't been discussed in the committee. They haven't come to the committee and say, you know, in the economic cluster, out of these 11 departments, there are 54 programs, but we're only opting to look at these seven, and this is how we're going to do it. We haven't had that information. And it also links back to the bigger thing, the gender-responsive budgeting and the M&E framework. Without those two things, what's the standard by which you evaluate? So the short answer is, no, we haven't received, and it's something that the committee also still needs to follow up on. Yes, Christian?
I just wanted to, I don't have the document with me now. When they gave us that outline of the organizational design with each of the different units and the staffing in that, I think one of the things that I noticed was in the administration program is well-resourced and well-funded in terms of human resources. Everyone's there. But when you go to the other two programs, a lot of the time it remains top-heavy. So it goes, there's a chief director, a director, and then perhaps an assistant director. But beneath that, often there's no staff lower than that. So my question is, in terms of people who are doing the actual work, in a lot of those programs, those people are lacking. So why do we have so many resources in your administration program, and the actual work needs to be done, the human resource capacity is lacking in your core programs?
Honorable members, since there are many questions that we want to ask from the department, at the moment I'm told that they are still waiting. The officials are here, but they're still waiting for the minister and the DG. They are at the cabinet meeting. they will come to us later on, because they promised to be here by 11:30. So I'm going to give you just a 10 minutes break.
Thank you.